In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel from St. Matthew, given to us on this, the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost, speaks to my heart. When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him who reads understand. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything from his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. The Lord goes on to speak to us about signs of the coming of the end times, of the great tribulation that will take place, especially for those who are travailing under the difficulties of the world itself. It is, as the Lord himself expresses it, a dark and bleak reality that he sets forth, preparing us for the coming of false prophets, for the coming of those who will profess to be Christ, but truly who are not, for those who will bring forth to us suffering and sacrifice because they have entered into the sanctuary with hearts that are impure. To those of us given over to the darkness, to hear our Lord speak about the darkness brings us peace. But brothers and sisters, it is difficult to labor under that darkness if there never is any light. It is difficult to enter into the tribulations and the times of the abomination of desolation unless there is peace and calm that comes from Christ and him alone. For those of us who tend to be pessimistic and dark in our approach to the world, we at times, if we are honest with ourselves, know that we simply cannot endure. It is the weight of a cross that we carry by ourselves, imposed upon ourselves, and in some way on a natural level to help us deal with the world in which we find ourselves. Better to expect nothing than to be disappointed by all the people who will let you down, or all the things that will be difficult in the world, or all the suffering that you will have to endure. I suffer, therefore I am. But that cannot be the mantra of the Christian. That cannot be the mantra of the one who believes in the mystery and the power of Christ crucified, Christ who has redeemed, Christ who comes to bring peace. We might feel at times to speak about the peace of Christ, the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, if it will, as palbum in order to reduce the pain and suffering. But in truth, it is the only context to deal with the sacrifices that we are asked to endure, the tribulations and the travails under which at times we labor. And so it is incumbent upon us not only to pay heed to the exhortation of our Savior and to prepare ourselves for that which is coming, but then to realize that our preparation consists not in giving ourselves over to the darkness, but instead opening our hearts to the light that is Christ, opening ourselves to the peace that we hear in our opening prayer, the peace that we hear in our introit. The words of peace that St. Paul reminds the Colossians as he speaks to them about praying for one another unceasingly, trusting in the Lord, doing so with patience and long-suffering, but patience nonetheless, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father who has made you worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. Really, in truth, this is the only way that we can deal with the world in which we find ourselves. And while I at times have resisted speaking about the uniqueness of the world in which we live, what is difficult is it is the world in which we live. And if we look at ages past, the church has indeed suffered. She has labored mightily under arduous conditions, truthfully under conditions that most people would have simply died and disappeared. Nations have come and gone, kings and rulers and principalities and mights have disappeared, so much so that they've even been written out of history itself. But the church, the bride of Christ has indeed remained. In all of that darkness and all of that sacrifice and suffering, all the travails and tribulations imposed upon her by society and culture, she has still continued to triumph. And that triumph comes precisely because we give thanks to God unceasingly, with hearts full of joy and gratitude, that we are indeed his children and that we are people of the light. And so this year of grace and favor is come to an end. And it is indeed a time to take stock of what I did with all of the graces that God bestowed upon me. And if I'm honest and truthful, which I hope you are before the Lord, you will realize that for all the graces to which you responded generously, there were so many more that you squandered because of selfishness or fear or doubt or anger, giving over to the darkness and all the temptations that are hidden therein. And if that were the end of the story, then this reality under which we labor simply would be cruel. God asking us to give ourselves to him, but never allowing us to lighten that burden. God expecting perfection from us, but never giving us the means in order to achieve that. God placing crosses upon our shoulders that he knows we are unable to bear. But this is not what our God does to us or for us. And indeed, in Scripture, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Precisely because he has done all of the heavy lifting. He has conquered sin and death once and for all upon the cross that he himself willingly and joyfully mounted, that we might be able to be children of light. So this doesn't require looking at the life of the world in which we live with rose-colored glasses. It does not require plastering a smile upon your face and turning a blind eye to the difficulties of the world. What it requires is perseverance, steadfastness, a willingness to suffer with the Lord, knowing that to die with Christ is to live with him. And as I assess how I have lived this year of grace and favor and discover that indeed I have squandered so much richness, I can pledge yet again through that same grace to begin anew, to begin again. And in truth, every moment of our lives as believers in the mystery of Jesus Christ is precisely that, beginning again, continuing again, over and over, day after day, moment after moment, never growing tired of doing good. Especially when it is because of our own weaknesses that we have failed to do good. He has rescued us, St. Paul says, from the power of darkness and transformed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. I have often thought I have done you a disservice by preaching so often about us against them or the darkness of the world. But if I have done you a disservice, it is not in preaching that. It is not then allowing it also to sit side by side with these words of great faith and confidence that St. Paul speaks, which he only knows of precisely because the Lord penetrated the darkness and blindness of his own life and brought him to light and truth. He speaks about truly knowing who he is and understanding then living out of that so that he could boldly proclaim this even when there were murderous threats around him and even up to and including the shedding of his own blood. And so, yes, the world is a difficult and arduous place. But we are not children of this place. Rather, we inhabit it for a time. We children of light. We are sharers in new life. We are participants through our brother in the kingdom that his Father has drawn us into. And so embrace this gift of grace that has been bestowed upon you, most especially and intimately in this Eucharistic sacrifice. And for those of you who present yourself for Holy Communion, be acutely aware of what it is that you do and whom it is that you receive. And in that act of reception, the pledge that you are making not to me and in truth not to each other, but to God himself, to live in this light, to live in this truth, to find peace in the midst of your sufferings and sacrifices, recognizing that you are not captive to the temptations that are hidden in darkness, but you now have been set free by the light of our Eucharistic Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.